This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hi, everybody. Harry Carey here. We've got a great show lined up for you.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I once took a pair of binoculars and stared at the sun for over an hour.
Why would you do that?
Curiosity, I guess. Heck, I'm curious like a cat. I have a couple of friends that call me Whiskers.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
Hey, now, kid, we all know that the moon is not made of green cheese.
Yes, that's true, Harry.
But what if it were made of barbecue spare ribs? Would you eat it then?
And Brendan Sprague.
I know I would. Heck, I'd have seconds. And then polish it off with a tall, cool Budweiser.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back again. Hour number two, right on time. Good morning. Hello, you sexy animals. Happy Wednesday to everybody out there. Dirt and Sprague here. It's about the time I came on in the first hour of the show.
Cat pervert.
Made it just in time.
We did.
I heard the opening segment. You guys sounded great.
Did
sounded
we?
Sounded glorious. I was ready for a phone call just in case it was coming.
Okay.
Could have given you the live traffic reports. I was there. I was ready.
Yeah, I was trying to think of your traffic names. I had Slowdown Sprague and Gridlock Dirt.
I thought those were pretty good.
Gridlock Dirt's pretty good.
That's a solid name right there. Shout out to the Toyota in front of me who, despite knowing the left two lanes on 84 were closed the entire time, once we got on 84, decided to merge into the two left lanes, yeah. Even though they were closed. Just job well done. Job well done by everybody.
You want to dive into the Liberty and Aces game from last night?
Hell yeah, brother.
Did you watch it?
No, I did not watch it.
I actually watched most of it.
Yeah, what's going on with the Aces?
We're down 0-2.
You're down. That's your team.
They got a Sabrina problem.
Well, I picked them.
Damn right they do.
Sabrina's carving them up.
I picked them.
I thought Sabrina was overrated. Couldn't hack it in the WNBA.
Who said that?
I hear that all the time. That's what the people tell me. Overrated. Yeah, not so fast, my friend.
What'd you think of the other series?
I mean, it's a great matchup.
Do you know who's in it?
Yes, I do.
What are the people telling?
Connecticut.
Yeah.
Versus... I want to say Minnesota.
Oh, there you go.
Did I get it right?
Why did you? Oh, there you go. I think we could have waited for him to get himself out of there.
Are they the Lynx?
Yeah.
They are.
And Connecticut is the Sun.
They are.
Yes.
They call me WNBA Dirt.
1-1 in that series.
It's a tight ball game.
The Sun didn't care about that game last night.
Could go either way at this point.
There you go. There's your WNBA breakdown because my co-host doesn't watch it. And Swag and I are kind of battling
Lynx
in that Liberty
Lynx and Sun
series.
Got chippy at the end. I flipped over after the baseball was over.
The Sun are a chippy team.
They are.
They're kind of a bunch of, they're the Detroit Pistons.
I thought they just hated Caitlin Clark. Is that not the case?
No.
They just beat everybody up?
Their thing is just defense. They're tough.
Yeah, those are the two best defensive teams in the league this year.
Yeah. We will get to Josh Pate at 7:40.
Yes.
It's Pate State Wednesday.
It is.
He had my team on upset alert last night. He thinks it's going to be a chaos Saturday, and my game was included on it on Friday night.
Well, Friday games are a little weird.
They're funky, and it's a look-ahead spot. You got a big one loom. I'm already getting hit up for media requests for next week. Everybody's already going to next week.
Really? Ducks are 6-0 on Friday nights at Autzen.
Yeah, see, I hate those things. That's so stupid. That means nothing. Somebody asked Dan Lanning at his press conference this week, why do you think your team plays so well on Friday? And I thought, I don't think he's ever played a game on Friday here.
Yeah. Maybe one. Might have had one.
He's only been here three. Maybe. Maybe a Civil War was on a Friday.
Oh, Pac-12 title game.
Okay. It's a regular season, I feel like. A little bit different, but touche. Yeah, and they lost that game. Yeah. So they're not undefeated on Friday.
They're 6-0 at Autzen on Friday night games.
And it's like,
the university is.
The university, not Dan Lanning.
Okay. So let's get to some of that Dan Lanning audio. I try to be as honest as I can on this. I have zero juice for this game.
That's okay.
I will watch it, but I've also seen Aiden Childs play. I think Oregon's going to have a pick six in this game. Let's start on the similarities of Jonathan Smith at Michigan State versus Jonathan Smith and what he was at Oregon State.
Yeah, there's definitely some, similar pieces. You know, I think they always do a good job of challenging you in the run game, creating different pictures than maybe what you see, across college football. They always do a great job of that. You know, defensively a little bit different than what they were last year at Oregon State, but still really, really sound, and do some things that challenge you as well.
And that Michigan State quarterback, we speak of Aiden Childs. He's super athletic, and he's got a big arm, but he's throwing the ball to the wrong team a lot this year. Dan Lanning on Aiden Childs.
You know, one of the biggest things that sticks out is the way he's able to keep plays alive and continue to make things happen with his legs. You know, their average depth of target is way downfield, right? They take a lot of shots. They have some wideouts out there that have done a good job winning on the perimeter, and he throws a really good deep ball. So, I think those are probably the two things that stick out the most is, the ability to connect on deep shots. And then his ability to extend plays with his feet.
So there's Dan Lanning on Aiden Childs, and you brought this up yesterday, and we polled it. Dirt, you said Jonathan Smith at his press conference, he left Oregon State. That conference got blown up. It's now trying to rebuild itself. He's been asked a number of times about Oregon State and the Pac-12, and largely wants nothing to do with those questions. That's why he won't respond to an email request to do an interview out here.
Yeah, we tried to get him on the show this week. That did not get
We knew it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, did not get responded to.
Here he is being asked about survivor's guilt.
I guess, that conference was a historical conference of champions, and that's painful when that kind of goes away. There is some pride and grit to the two great places that are still there, Washington State and Oregon State, and so they play at a high level. Shoot, they're playing at a high level this year. And so I think a lot of us, regret, but just do remember how great that conference was and know how good those two universities.
I think the reason I have no juice for this game is you look up Michigan State's stats, and you could have watched Ohio State and had a takeaway from this too. But the thing about Jonathan Smith at Michigan State, it's a rebuild for them. They are 15th in the Big Ten in rushing offense. We know that's not Jonathan Smith and what he wants to do eventually.
No.
So it's just like the quarterback throws the ball to the other team. They can't really run the ball. They're clearly in a, a deficit of talent compared to a school like Oregon. I just, and maybe this is to Pate's point, a trap-ish game. I just think Oregon already had their trap-ish game.
Sure as hell hope so, man. I sure as hell hope so. I tend to agree with you. I just think the matchup, it doesn't lean into making you concerned about a loss. And primary by that, I mean, you mentioned the offensive numbers behind Michigan State. They can't run the football this year. Go look at what they did last week against Ohio State. They could not run they averaged 1.9 yards per carry. And Aiden Childs in that game was 13 of 19 for 160 yards. And that was at home, by the way, right? So now you're going on the road in a short week, coming off that style of game. The other part of it is, I think in order for there to be an upset brewing, and I hope these aren't famous last words, there has to be a strength that the other team can lean on to try and win a certain matchup, to like drag out a game. You kind of saw this. Washington was the better team of Rutgers, but they kind of played keep away, milk the clock, let's run the football. It's not going to be pretty. We're not going to outgain them, but we have a strength that we can lean on in order to win. Michigan State doesn't really have any of those that make you terrified. They're not great against the run. Defensively, I think they're 11th in the Big Ten in stopping the run.
Yeah.
It's not like they play juggernauts all year. They've only played one quality opponent. Their total defense is in the bottom half of the conference as well. So their one strength that they have a little bit of, at least going into last week, was getting after the quarterback. They have a lot of tackles for loss, sacks. Those kind of piled up for them in the first month of the season. What disappeared when they played Ohio State? All of those numbers, because you're going against the best offensive line you've seen. And so it would be one thing, like when Genty came to town with Boise, in hindsight, it's one of those like, yeah, he can kind of control the game, and he's a breakaway star, and he's going to have a couple of highlights that is going to keep Boise around in that matchup. There just isn't that player or unit right now on Michigan State that you could say, if they are to pull off the upset, this is what they can lean on to do it, because it's a bunch of weaknesses and averages kind of all across the board.
So I think what Pate would say, because in my mind I cannot imagine Michigan State coming into Autzen Stadium and winning, even if Oregon doesn't play a good game. And I think they played the cleanest game against UCLA.
Had a great first half until the pick six, and then didn't do much in the second half.
I told my buddy, who's an Oregon fan, we were watching the UCLA game, and you know, he's like, yeah, UCLA sucks. And I go, well, you got Michigan State, and actually Michigan State's much better. I go, they're Diet Coke UCLA. Like, they're a little better. They're not much different. I don't think it's that big of a difference right now with where those two programs are. But even if you play a down game, I guess the argument would be the look-ahead spot.
Yeah, that's the argument.
We had back-to-back patsies. This one Friday, short week. We just need to go up 30-7, and we're sitting, and then we're resting and getting ready for our massive game next weekend. Which, by the way, under the radar, Ohio State has Iowa. Now, they're at home, but I still look at that and say, well, Iowa, you're not going to probably lose to Iowa, but Iowa's physical.
That's a good defense.
That's a good defense. Yeah. That's a team that wants to drag you into the mud, and even if you're in the mud and you may win, it's still like, you know, and you're playing Saturday, Ducks play Friday, so I guess the argument would be the look-ahead spot. The Friday night game against the patsy of the Big Ten, or one of the patsies, and you don't take them seriously, and you play how you played against, I guess to lose, it'd have to be like how you played against Idaho, but yeah. I just don't foresee that. Maybe it's clunky. Maybe it's not perfect. I don't foresee them playing like that.
No, I don't either. I think the argument, you're spot on. It's you're not focused on this game, and you're focused on what's to come. I'm hopeful that doesn't happen, because Oregon has played four games this year, two of them at home, two of them on the road. They have made their fans pucker and panic for four quarters in each of their two home games, and they've looked great on the road and cruised to easy victories. So it'd be nice to give the home fans an easy game where you can leave in the third quarter. It's a Friday night. Look at that. We're up by 30. This game's going to be over. Let's bring Dante Moore in and let him be the victory cigar. So it'd be nice to have that kind of...
Novosad, right?
Hey. Dante Moore's still number two, okay? Don't you get over your skis on me on that
one.
Just
get ready for Austin Novosad.
But I think the other aspect that I would point to, and nobody's going to buy into this or expect it to happen, but I think the other thought that's just rattling around in my head is, what is Aiden Childs, and is there ever going to be this season a click moment for him?
Is this the season for that?
I don't know. Maybe it's
not.
Maybe
a growing pain season.
Very well
could. Next year, it's like, yo, I took my lumps, I learned, and now I have the experience.
I think we can all acknowledge, whether you're an Oregon State fan or not, or high on him, or like, there's a lot of talent and potential there. We all know it. We all see it. And the physicalness of him, I remember being at the Civil War last year, and he's a big dude, man. Yeah. He's a lot bigger than you think. He's well built. And so there's something there. He just has not been able to put it together. I would almost make it the equivalent of, like, he's like the Washington Huskies as a player. Like, you see it. I'm watching, and I'm like, I know that this is better than what I'm seeing as the end result, but you just haven't been able to get out of your own way, and you haven't been able to stop turning the ball over. It might not happen this year, because to your original point in this segment, they can't run the football, and Jonathan Smith wants to run the football. And if you can't do that, it's going to be an uphill battle for your quarterback. But that's the other part of this game that I think will be interesting, is maybe it doesn't happen. Maybe he throws three picks, and to your point of pick six, he has a lot of talent. And at some point, you wonder, will a light bulb go off for him of saying, okay, now I figured it out and the game is slowing down for me?
Yeah. The Jonathan Smith return game, too. Like, I don't think it actually resonates for him mentally that he's coming back to the state of Oregon. I just don't think he operates that way. So it's like, if he doesn't care, I don't really care.
Well, and his point in his press conference was, I've come back. I came back when I was at Boise. I think
Washington.
He came back when he was at Washington. Like,
I think he came back from, I think he was at Idaho when they played Oregon State once.
Probably. It sounds about right.
Maybe I'm wrong on that one, but to your point, Boise State, Washington, for sure.
Like, this isn't going back and coaching in Corvallis. Well, and the media out there was trying to make a much bigger deal out of it.
Also, what I think Beaver fan, it's okay to not like him and call him a snake, all that stuff. Okay. But, like, what I don't think everybody understands is, there is a disconnect for him. He is in a job. His life is not, I'm an alum, I'm a big fan. My job is, I'm coaching. I don't view this that way anymore.
No.
This is my livelihood.
I just lost 38-7 to Ohio State. Yes. Now I got to go on the road to Autzen Stadium and play a top 10 team in the country.
Right. You're right.
He's just trying to not get blown out of the building. That's what he's worried about.
An update on this and a little bit of beef next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
Swag Dirt Drop Day. God, I wish the Chargers could do it. I said, what? Trade for Adams.
Get my guy a weapon, man. Ladd McConkey's a fun story, but come on!
Yeah, Harbaugh's going to slowly build and just be the running team who has a quarterback with a cannon.
And they just don't have any... They don't have a difference maker on the outside.
I don't know if Devontae and Harbaugh might be on the same page because they're both weird and kooky enough.
Do you view him as a
divisional thing, too?
Or is Devontae a diva?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
He went to Vegas to sign up to play with his college quarterback, and then they traded him after a year and stuck him with Jimmy Garoppolo and Gardner Minshew.
I think he's super intense, 100%. See, I think he and Harbaugh might...
Jive on
might
the intensity
jive.
Of football.
Now, they might, have a little verbal spar every once in a while because they don't see things the same way in terms of how to work, X's and O's sort of stuff. But I see their mentality actually being very similar.
I swear on my mom, if the Chiefs get him,
I just don't think financially they. I think financially they can't make it work.
Mark Davis would like step in at the last minute
because he's owed $13.5 million the rest of the year, and I don't think Kansas City can.
I don't think anybody on this show owed 30 something
on the last 2 years.
Yeah, he's got two more years left on his deal.
No, he has an opt out. He has an opt out.
He's not going to opt out of his contract.
Opt out of 36.
Why is he going to opt out?
Because he's going to get a massive deal.
He's getting paid $36 million, and he's 33 years old.
You don't think he's going to get another 2 or 3 year massive deal? He's Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
When he plays, he's still one of the best wide receivers in the league.
But if he has a chance to get to the Chiefs and win a Super Bowl,
I think the buzz is building that he's opting out.
Yeah, he signed a 5-year, $140 million deal.
He's opt out in 2025.
He's an opt out in 2025.
I'll also throw this at you, and I mean no disrespect to you or Swag or me. None of us on this show know how the cap in the NFL works. We all say this crap, and then a team signs a guy, and we go, okay.
Yeah, no, they have like carry forward sort of stuff.
They have
like
weird taxes. Things in
like
the
if you
caps.
Take a loss or yes. something, you can carry it.
I'm just
forward
going off
to
of what like NFL insiders are reporting.
I think your logic is more in line with not trading him to the division.
Well, here's the thing about Adams, though, with
the opt
out.
Lets that happen.
No. So maybe he very well could end up getting a longer extension with that. So if he doesn't opt out, though, This year, his base salary is only $16.8 million.
It's $1 million bucks.
Next
a
year is when it pops up for him. He hasn't hit that big payday yet. So next year, his $35 million salary would put him in par with what Justin Jefferson just got in Minnesota as the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL.
Right, but I think the part of the opt out would be: do you get wherever you get traded? Does that team then extend you, and then you're still going to make close to your 33, but you've got.
That'll likely happen, yeah.
And then you get additional years.
And the teams
will
want to change it into a signing bonus to mix up their cap and all that. I just am going off of what insiders are saying, that $13.5 million, Kansas City can't make that work. That's all I'm seeing.
Interesting day for those insiders you speak of. Not NFL ones. Boy. Our buddy Brett McMurphy, I found out yesterday, is kind of hated in the media.
Yeah, he was beefing with everybody yesterday.
Well, he was retweeting everybody that was calling him out for his Gonzaga report. And he ended up getting into a little bit of a back and forth with NBC national college football reporter Nicole Auerbach.
Okay.
So he retweeted her tweet, which was basically like, this Gonzaga thing's not happening. It's not done. And he retweeted that and saved the receipts. She responded with, it's important to both be accurate and precise in reporting news, because everybody was like, yo, Brett reported this 2 weeks ago and he called it out. And then Brett McMurphy saw that, quote tweeted her and said, is Mel Tucker firing official yet?
That was the last time this happened, because he reported Mel Tucker was going to get fired. And she said, no, he's not. And then a month later, he was fired.
But I don't think it was a weird thing. So I think he jokingly threw that at her, and then she responded to it and basically said, it certainly wasn't when you said he was fired. That word means something very specific. I guess you don't care about the accuracy and precision of what you report and hope that being first or maybe eventually right is enough, but people see right through you. She then said, go on and just wish coaches happy birthday. I thought this was fascinating.
Wow. The self-pompousness, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is, but the ego, there you go. The ego that exists in these newsbreakers, and some of them acting as if they are just the most important people on the planet, makes me want to vomit. And I love the way Brett McMurphy handles this. He was correct. You could say that it wasn't true. It was true at the time.
Well,
this
he didn't say it was happening that day.
No, he just said they're going to be in the Pac-12.
They're going to be in the Pac-12.
And they're in the Pac-12. So he clearly had the indication in the sourcing that said, yeah, like this is going to happen. We just got to iron out the details and we want to announce it on our own. My takeaway when this came out, 2 weeks ago was simply that Gonzaga was pissed. They wanted to break this news on their own. And it was, we got to the forefront of it. We went through this with the Diamond Project the other day. I guarantee you they wanted to have some big unveiling of, we bought this Zydell Yards and here's our rendering and look at all this stuff.
And a Willamette,
and
a Willamette Week reporter
scooped it. And they're like, oh, crap, now we got to go do interviews on the Fan and say, well, it's not done yet, but I promise it's going to get there. And everything gets fumbled. Gonzaga wanted to break this news on their own. They were pissed. And McMurphy ended up being right. Nicole Auerbach looks like an absolute clown in this case.
I kind of think so, too.
She's always the one, too, that's jumping on like an hour after news is broke. My source is also confirming blah, 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 blah has happened. I don't know. Well, the news breaking scandals are driving me nuts right now, yeah. And these people need to, a lot of them just need to go away.
I think the news, well, I said this yesterday. I personally, for me, I don't know where everybody is as a sports fan. I just find the newsbreaker person as a job and how, like, these media companies pay these people, I just find it obscene.
Yes.
So, yeah. Wait, you want to pay Shyam Charania $9 million a year so you can have on your ticker ESPN's Shyam Charania?
Like, exactly it.
That's it?
So he can tweet out who was drafted with the third overall pick 45 seconds before the third overall pick is announced.
You can dislike Mad Dog Russo, Stephen A's, all those people. You can dislike them. At least they're giving content.
Yes.
Yeah. Shyam Charania goes on TV and just parrots what an agent told him and has no other context.
That's what Schefter does in his articles. Thank you, Mr. Agent.
Yes.
Or thank you, Mr. Copy
Mr.
Editor.
Copy
How does this
editor,
story
yeah.
look, GM of this team?
I just don't get her weird... I don't know. She clearly doesn't like him. There's a few people nationally I don't think that like him. I don't know what happened. I'm not in that world. I just found this reaction interesting. He clearly was the one who broke this,
yeah.
And everybody jumped on him for it, and then they came out. It's weird how it's a real story when they break it.
Now it's real.
Well, it wasn't official yet. So wait, you tweeted it, and they still haven't announced it. I just found the whole thing. I thought Casey Oldo said it well. It was PR, the reaction. Yeah. And you could see Thamel, Auerbach, Rothstein, yeah. All of these people that dabble in breaking news. You could see clearly they all got the same text from the same person. This isn't done yet. And so they all went out and were like, no, that's not happening.
Not happening.
Brett McMurphy clearly scooped this.
He stood by it.
And he stood by it. And he called everybody out yesterday who pretended that they were as well-sourced on this topic as he was.
I just, my frustration, too, is that it's one of those industries where, like, nothing matters and you can pretend to be a newsbreaker and be wrong constantly and there's no ramifications.
I tend to agree with that.
That's the frustration. There's a guy locally who spent a year reporting that the Pac-12 was going to get a TV deal, $30 million, ESPN, Fox, nothing's going to happen, Apple TV, it's going to be the same as the Big 12, nothing to fear, and then the conference crumbled. And we're still breaking news, and 2 weeks ago it was Gonzaga's not going to the Pac-12. This isn't happening. And then yesterday, my sources indicate Gonzaga's going to the Pac-12. Like, there's no standard. There's no punishment. Nobody cares. Everybody wants to be a newsbreaker. Just react to the news with all of us. We're all going to find out when the school, institution, player, team announces it. We'll react to it together. You don't need to be a newsbreaker.
Well, how often do you sit there with your friends on a big sports story breaking and you start debating, boy, let's talk about how Schefter got that one early, huh?
Yeah, wow, what a great scoop by Schefty there.
You see it, and then you react to the story. You don't care who breaks it. Largely, I forget who breaks it at the time.
Can you believe
anyway.
He got it before Rappaport? Can you believe it?
I did see our buddy Josh Pate, who's going to join us in 10 minutes. He did have a funny tweet of yesterday. Passan had a story like an hour after Pete Rose was dead about Pete Rose, and he got himself in this position. It was like,
oh, yeah.
The body's not even barely cold yet.
Can we give it 2 weeks? Can there be a 2-week, notice before we come out with that?
Yeah, it's a very interesting topic, Pete Rose dying yesterday, because a lot of people, it's Charlie Hustle.
Yes.
But also, it was an immediate, he deserved everything he had. It was like, okay, all right, well, we know. We want.
Let's let the body be in the ground for 2 weeks, and then we can kill the guy again, okay? Let's let it breathe a little
bit. Well, we don't need to kill the guy again. I don't think you can actually do that.
No, I don't think you can.
Yeah, so we'll give you an update on that. Josh Pate's going to join us at 7:40, but next, a shorter segment. It's a weird segment for us. Wednesday's always kind of weird here between Josh Pate. We'll get to that next.
All right, welcome back in. Josh Pate coming up in a couple of moments. Watching videos of Jimmy Carter yesterday. It was his 100th birthday.
Did you see this swag?
They wheeled him out. They did it because a former president, they did a flyover for his birthday.
Yeah, did a military flyover.
You saw this.
I saw a clip of it.
I mean,
don't do this to me if I'm 100 years old in the same condition.
When you click the responses to the tweet, there's a lot of those of like, God, if I ever look like that, just leave me inside, man.
He's laying down, looking up, and they make him do that.
It looks like a Weekend at Bernie's thing. Like, I don't think he's there. There's nothing there. How is this still possible?
It's one of those, like, he's still alive, but Jimmy is gone.
Jimmy is no longer. Jimmy's long gone.
Yeah.
That video combined with the one that he took with the Bidens where they looked like miniature people a couple of years ago are two of my favorite photos.
That's one
things
of the
of
craziest
all time.
Photos ever.
They look like they're 4 feet tall, and did they shrink that much? I'm very, very confused by all of this. Josh Pate coming up in a matter of moments. Let's get to We're Not Alabama Gate, and would we be upset about this? We don't have a lot of time in this segment, so let me get to this quickly. Would we be up? This is Trent Dilfer at UAB in the post game of their loss to Navy this weekend. Here's how it sounded.
Way right now.
With a game like this, with a team like this, that with Navy, when you get off to...
Come on. He can come up. It's like two of them. It's not like this is freaking Alabama. Let's go. Come on, bud. You can come up here.
So he's talking to his grandkids. He's in the post-game press conference. His grandkids walk into the room, and he's like, yeah, come on up. You come sit up. We're not Alabama, okay? You can come sit up on the desk. This, for some reason, pissed people at UAB off, and he had more reporters show up to his press conference on Monday, and he was asked about it.
Trent, during the post-game presser, you quoted, this is not freaking Alabama. What would you say to UAB fans who may have perceived this as something that you didn't mean to say, or could you just elaborate on what you meant to say?
We're not Alabama.
Were you there?
Yeah.
I was not there.
Oh.
There's my answer.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here today.
There were two people there.
Two people? Okay?
And my grandson wanted to come up, and I heard like a little stirring. I said, there's two people here. This isn't freaking Alabama's press conference. My grandson can come up.
But you are aware of this program's history.
I am very aware of this program's history.
Okay. Yeah.
We're not Alabama Gate.
What am I missing?
I don't know.
What's their history that they ceased to exist and then came back and they exist again?
They had an 11-win season in 2018, won the Boca Raton Bowl.
Did they beat Alabama?
They did not.
And win the title of the school of Alabama?
Again, context is everything. And if you're a beat writer, then be a beat writer and be there for everything. Otherwise, do some homework.
This was TV guys showing up
after the comments that were said on Saturday night. The funniest response is that, were you here? No. There were two people in here.
Exactly.
Two people asking post-game questions. Can we not act like this is a post-game Super Bowl presser here?
How many people discovered or remember that Trent Dilfer is coaching at UAB?
Right hand up.
I had remembered at the start of last year, and I forgot.
Yeah.
And then I was reminded.
Saw this clip this weekend. I'm like, that's right. Trent Dilfer, UAB. He's still coaching, huh?
I'm trying to put myself as a UAB fan. Why would this offend me?
I mean,
it's Alabama.
How dare you say we're not Alabama? Do you not know about our proud football history? Okay, 2 years ago, we went to the Bahamas Bowl and beat the Miami Ohio Redhawks 24-20. Okay, stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
I will. I guess.
We're not Alabama Gate.
Nothing sums up how awful media can be than that.
That's
Oh, now you're here. Oh. It takes some dumb thing.
Context and perspective,
it's unbelievable.
People.
A video that will go viral and you ask that question. Good for Trent Dilfer for standing up for himself. Let's talk some more college football with our good friend, Josh Pate. He is right around the corner. He thinks it's a chaos Saturday. Why does he think that? We'll talk to Pate next on The Fan. All right, he's talking about UAB being upset. Hey, we're Alabama too, damn it. We're in the same state. Put some respect on our name. Let's keep talking college football with a guy who was at Alabama on Saturday night in an incredible college football game.
What Josh Pate. Environment, too.
Our good buddy, the Josh Pate College Football Show, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday on YouTube, 5 o'clock our time. You can give him a follow on Twitter at Josh Pate CFB and check the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Josh, a million different things I want to get to, including a chaos Saturday in which a graphic on the show last night, my team was included, so I need to ask how strong my pucker factor should be, but I want to start... You did the show on Sunday, and you said that was a top three atmosphere you've ever been in, which now is going to lead me to ask the question. I need your Mount Rushmore of stops on the tour over the last couple of years. What are the three or four best, and where does that one rank?
Very good question. Good morning to you all. I think the three that come to mind very quickly are that one, and then Bama at Tennessee a couple of years ago,
where they got
upset. Yeah, goalpost in the river, blah, blah, blah. And then also... two of the Red River Shootout games out of the last 3 years have been total, utter insanity. I also think you could put the first time that I went to Michigan and saw them beat Ohio State, that's way up there. So it's in the mix with some very, very lofty company.
I don't like to do a lot of gotcha radio here, so I'm asking sincerely, you were at the Bama-Georgia game. It was fantastic. If I was to ask Josh Pate last year, Georgia didn't make the playoff. Was Georgia top four in the country to Josh Pate?
Are you asking in terms of whether we have to do this. Are you asking whether I think they should have been in as like a committee member or as a power rating sort of thing?
I'm asking as a committee member. Did you think Georgia losing their first game in like 2 years in the SEC title game was still worthy of being in a 14 playoff?
I do not. I would have had them out.
Okay.
So I agreed actually with all four teams. I agreed with Florida State not being in and Bama being in. I agreed with Georgia losing to Bama and not being in. Now, the Georgia gripe is, Josh, you know good and well, we're better than fill in the blank. Yeah, I think I do too. But the thing about it is, this sport would suck if we seeded the playoff based on what I think. Like, that shouldn't happen. And I'm even talking about myself. My own personal opinion shouldn't matter. We've got teams all the time that face off on Saturday, and I think one's going to win and the other does. So at the end of the day, what is any of our opinion worth? You have to have a merit-based mechanism in order to make a playoff or seed a playoff. Now, having said that, there does have to be a lot of common sense injected when it comes to how we measure the criteria. You can't just say you are what your record says you are, or else Liberty could get in undefeated this year, and Georgia could have three losses. Georgia with three losses is probably still a lot better and more deserving than Liberty. So there has to be qualification there, but I did agree with Georgia not being in.
Well, now I feel like Mark Wahlberg and the other guys, and you, Will Ferrell'd me, and now the tuna are eating the lion. That did not go how I thought, but I guess my point, my question I was leading into is, I thought Saturday, as great as that game was, as weird as a start it was for Georgia, I actually thought it was the best argument for why the expanded playoff could be a good thing for the sport, because I know Georgia, even though they dropped the ball in the first half or threw the ball to the other team, they're still a top whatever team in college football that I think is worthy of playing for the playoff. So I guess my argument would just be more like, I thought that was actually the good case for an expanded playoff, because you still had everybody that cared. The ratings were the highest they've ever been. Message boards are still on fire with, let's fire this guy and get rid of that guy and sit that guy. And yet they can still make a playoff having lost that game.
Yeah, but I would say they'd still be in it with the four-team model. Like, this game is a loss on the road to a top-five team. You're certainly still in contention for your conference title. I mean, how many times have we seen one-loss teams make the four-team playoff in the past? It very rarely was it four undefeated teams, so they'd still be alive for it. You know, in my perfect world, I guess, perfect considering where we are, let me put it that way, I would love to see, I mean, if you're going to go to the extreme of the Big Ten and the SEC running everything, which I hate, but if we're going that direction, I would just love to sort of backfill in how we define a playoff, and I would love for, you know, the structure of the conference title to, in and of themselves, become tournaments. And so take the top four teams in each of those conferences at the end of the year and, you know, bracket it, semifinal, final within the conference, and then have those two teams meet wherever. Like, if that's the direction you're going to go. Now, the direction I would love to go is hit rewind and have a do-over on all this stuff. You know me. You know me well enough to know that. But I do like the idea that, or I do argue the idea. The other night they had me on CBS postgame, and they thought they were going to get me on it because I've made my stance on playoff expansion very obvious. And they were like, well, now with how urgent this game felt, how incredible this game felt, don't you have to argue this was good and this was validation of playoff expansion? And I kept saying, play the tape of me before this game. I told you guys, this rivalry doesn't need any postseason implication. Georgia-Bama is like its own world. I live down here. I live on the border of the states for a long time. So that's not the proof for or against playoff expansion. In fact, a big matchup in September was never going to be that proof. It's how the big matchups in November feel, featuring teams capable of winning the title, and they have urgency removed from them so that we can manufacture urgency on games featuring teams that we all probably know won't win the title. Like, that's been my whole thing, but that's a side note, and I'm not here to filibuster.
Dirt, you know how a small wrestler sneaks into the ring and hits the giant in the back with the chair?
You just hit the Big Show with a chair, and he turned around.
And he just turned around and, like, grabbed my throat, choke slam. That did not go how I thought at all.
Royal Rumble, you've been tossed out of the ring.
Yeah, that just happened. Look at this guy. He's going to get him.
He just got flown into the third row. That's why he's the commissioner, Josh
Pate.
That's true. At Josh Pate CFB on Twitter, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, the show live on YouTube, 5 o'clock our time, and you can catch the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'm watching the show last night, and I'm wondering, going into Friday night, how strong should my pucker factor be? And here comes Josh Pate telling me this is going to be a chaos Saturday, and then I see the graphic of that game included in the mix. So you rank games on a 1-5 Chali ranking system. I will ask you, on a 1-10 pucker system, where should my pucker be? Michigan State coming to town, short week, and, oh, by the way, a pretty big one coming the next Saturday.
Okay, well, first off, you need to know I'm absolutely stealing this phrase. So that's mine now. That's going to be used on every
TM, Dirt and Sprague, TM.
Yeah, TM. Just watch the TM right now, TM. I'm calling my lawyers, TM, okay?
Yeah. So I think, I don't think the pucker factor should be that incredibly high for Oregon, Michigan State. Now, in totality, there should be a lot of puckering going on nationally because I think we're going to have some really, really surprising slash shocking upsets come this weekend. It is, there are far too many big ranked favorites against unranked conference opponents. And it's normally the conference teams that do it to you. They know each other too well. I think, though, Michigan State, that's a game where Jonathan Smith, who I called Jonathan Stewart on the show.
We got that last night.
Yeah,
I caught
that. Yeah, that was great. People really love it when you do that. So I think that Oregon will be okay there. I don't, because they've got the Friday atmosphere, too, I don't think there's really much of a look-ahead factor. We all know what's coming up, but I also think they got scared early enough in the season where there's no look-ahead factor. They should be okay. If they're not, they got much bigger problems. Yeah. And so I think they're okay. But some of these other games, like Georgia-Auburn, just for example, has a similar point spread as Oregon-Michigan State. I know most people haven't watched Auburn. Auburn's been 2-3 teams so far, or 3-2, whatever they are. They have been really good offensively, and then they've turned the ball over a ton, which doesn't matter. That means you lose games. But what we know about this sport is just randomly one week, that kind of team, if they're even or plus one in the turnover margin, they could flip the script on you really quickly because all of a sudden you realize, oh, that's actually a really good team that's been masquerading as a bad team because of this one flaw. And maybe the flaw's not gone, but it just disappeared for one week. You got that one. You got Ole Miss at South Carolina. Guys, yeah. It's Cocktober. Anything can happen in Cocktober. And so South Carolina's welcoming them in. South Carolina is rested. Arkansas's in total desperation mode. Tennessee has to go in there. So there's a lot of these games. Iowa at Ohio State. No one expects that to be competitive, but no one's seen Ohio State play a legit defense this year either. So we're just testing a lot of different dams this week, and I think we're going to find some cracks in some of them.
Clemson's played really well since they got blown out by Georgia. I think people are pretty encouraged with what they're seeing with Clemson. Miami just, I didn't think that was a catch. They somehow got the ACC to intervene and give them a win off of a weird Hail Mary ending in a game that I didn't think they'd be involved in with Virginia Tech. You talk about pucker factor or look-ahead spot there. Miami's going to the woke agenda this weekend. Game day's going to be in Berkeley. I'm curious what you make of Miami at this point. Does one game change your thought process, or are we to say maybe that was a game, they just didn't play clean, they get back to what they've looked like prior to that?
You got to understand, I grew up in the most deep red part of this country of ours. And the folks, even from my hometown, are loving what Cal's doing right now.
Yep.
They are, they're on a different level, dude. Whoever came up with woke versus Coke to describe Cal versus Miami, I don't know what they do for a living, but they deserve a raise.
Yeah,
they deserve. To be honest with you, I believe in full disclosure on this show.
Yep.
I got so preoccupied with getting excited about woke versus Coke, I didn't even listen to the rest of the question, so you're going to have to restate it.
Just Miami. Miami crystal ball, looking how some people worry with Mario. For whatever reason, he's got this thing. He gets the Jimmys and the Joes, but he has those games. Now, was that just the one-off? Does Cam Ward play like that again, where I thought he was good but also bad? What do you make of Miami going into Cal? Game day is going to be there, but it's a late kick.
Yeah, I really was disappointed watching them last Friday night, only because when you start to elevate into the conversation they've been in, you're supposed to sort of immunize yourself from the problems that just pretty good teams have. Like, a pretty good team still falls victim to that sort of nonsense. The really good teams, the potentially great teams, they're supposed to play to a standard every week. And Miami had, but then all of a sudden they didn't. And you're allowed one just total throwaway game. I've got no problem with that. It's like when your teacher was willing to throw out the lowest graded paper. But you better not have three or four papers graded that low, or else you're just an underachieving student. That's what you are. So this is not the biggest test in the world. I mean, if we're being real, it'd be kind of disingenuous to say, boy, Miami's got to prove they're a national title contender by what they do against Cal. No, that's not where you prove it. You can prove you're not one against Cal. You won't definitively prove you are one. Miami's schedule is very void of those sorts of opportunities. I mean, their biggest remaining game is, what, Louisville or someone like that. So they'll have to ultimately make their statements down the road in the conference title game and in playoff. But I don't know, man. Their line of scrimmage play disappointed me the other night. Mm-hmm. So I'm not off of Miami, but I am back to the mode where you kind of have to reprove yourself to me.
Yeah, I think that's a 3.5 pucker on the scale. We'll chart you down for that one. Josh Pate, our guest, every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, live on YouTube. Josh Pate, College Football Show, at Josh Pate CFB.
How are we gauging the pucker factor there? The three, you said it's a three.
It's 3.5.
Pucker?
It sounded like a 3.5. I mean, there's a little pucker. There's not no pucker, but it's not like, oh my God, I'm panicking. But like, there's a pucker. You're going into that game with a bit of a pucker, and you want to see your team play better.
You're just squeezing one cheek.
You're squeezing a cheek.
So
yeah.
I'm not Nacho Libre against the wall.
No.
You see it with the pants.
No. One cheek squeeze, okay. Other cheek loose, and depending on how Saturday night goes.
That ability.
Okay. I do want to ask you, Josh, about a game up here in the Northwest this weekend. You mentioned Auburn being a team that, like, the numbers show that's not a bad team. They just can't stop turning the football over. I feel like they're very equivalent to what Washington is this year, where they're moving the ball like crazy, and they just can't score points, and they can't get it done in the red zone. And people expected a down year for them, but it doesn't seem to be a talent problem. It's an execution, penalties, boneheaded mistake kind of problem. Michigan's coming to town. They can't complete a forward pass, and they're an underdog against as a top-10 team on the road. Just a weird matchup. What do you make? I know you previewed it last night, but for our Husky listeners, between that Michigan-Washington game.
That's perfect comp. Auburn-Washington, one of the only times we'll comp those two, but it is a perfect comp because they're both on paper, between the 20s, doing some good stuff, and then all hell breaks loose when they get into the red zone. So that's that. All right, that's baked in. We know that about them. The big question, and what you're trying to do if you're modeling or you're predicting or you're betting, is you're not trying to live in the rearview mirror, as Meemaw would say. We're trying to live in the windshield. We're trying to look at what will happen. And do we have the game coming where Will Rogers continues to do what he's been doing, or just do 75% of that, because it is Michigan after all, but you do it and you don't turn the ball over, and you finish drives. Third and fourth down all of a sudden looks good for you. Because if you do, Washington will beat Michigan. I mean, Washington is favored for a reason. I agree with the number, by the way. I think they're not similar teams in that stylistically they're the same, but they are comparable teams in the sense that on a neutral field, they'd still be about even. That's why the number's 2 or 2.5 home field with Washington implied. So I got more DMs about this game this week than any game, because I had Michigan folks that just couldn't wrap their minds around the idea that they're a dog. How are we a top 10 team and we're a dog? Well, the answer is you're not a top 10 team. That's the short answer, right. But they don't want to hear that. So, well, the AP would never lie to me, Daddy. Well, the AP is the truth teller out there. So I think the formula has to be the same as they did against USC. Don't even pretend you're allowed to throw the ball. Just run it, run it, run it. Pull the game into quicksand. Let Washington get their yardage between the 20s, but you know, follow the typical Washington game script, and that's Michigan's hope to win. But here's the thing about Michigan's hope. Even if they play that kind of game, it comes with a razor-tight margin for error. So if Michigan gets their game, it should be a close, ugly game.
Last one for you. It's a two-parter. The Big 12 is as crazy as we all thought. Look at BYU at the top of the conference. I know you really like Iowa State, but Texas Tech is up there. I didn't think they were very good. How about them? Kansas State, I think, is the best, but we don't know. The craziness of the Big 12, who you think the best team is, and Swag asked before the show, he was curious your thoughts. It's Cocktober, as you mentioned, October 2nd here. Should the playoff committee be giving their rankings earlier than like week 8? I think yes, but I'm curious your thoughts on that.
I've always been in favor of it because I don't care how early people put out rankings as long as they properly calibrate week over week.
Yeah.
What you don't want is you don't want the old AP mentality of we're going to rank a team number one to start the season. And even if they look terrible and other teams look elite, we're not going to bump them off that perch because they deserve to be number one until being beaten. They don't deserve anything. They deserve the same treatment everyone else does. So if you're willing to do that as a committee member, if you're willing to hit the reset button and re-rank from scratch every week, then I'm fine with it. I don't trust those people to do it, but in theory, I'd be fine with it. Now, the other, let's look at this week in totality, because the Big 12 is exactly where I thought it would be. We've got Kansas State goes to Brigham Young, gets skull-drugged, but it was a very misleading final, and then they recover and immediately dispose of Oklahoma State. I agree with you. I would power rate Kansas State number one in the conference right now. I think Iowa State ultimately is going to have something to say about it. They'd be right there. I think they play at the end of the year. Iowa State's got Utah and Kansas State end of the year back-to-back. I think that there are still like half a dozen teams that could win that thing. That's why it's America's College Football Conference. I love it. I encourage everyone to watch it. They're paying me nothing, but they should be paying me a lot to be the spokesperson for the conference. And so I'm actually sitting in a parking lot right now. I'm about to go upstairs to the tattoo parlor and get the Big 12 logo and print it on my lower back. That's how much I love it right now.
Oh, just yeah, put it near, put it in the backside, then the pucker factor for the Big 12 will
exactly
always exist.
Then it's always exactly there. Yeah. Look forward to the pucker factor on the show on Thursday. Do you want to break any news before we let you go about next weekend's plans? Just, you know, giving you the opportunity.
I want to break the news that I cannot wait to be in the same area code as you guys when we talk next week. Well, hold on, Wednesday. Oh. You know what? Don't pin me down on travel yet.
Okay.
I just can't wait to be much closer to my dear friends who I'm normally three time zones away from.
I love it. Josh Pate, check out the show every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, live on YouTube, 5 o'clock our time. The podcast is great. The show is great. It's the best in college football, at Josh Pate CFB on Twitter. Always appreciate it. We'll have the gift basket waiting for you next week, and enjoy the chaos Saturday.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
There you go. Josh Pate, previewing the weekend in college football that, he's going to be, unless disaster strikes this weekend somehow, some way.
He's going to be here.
He will be in Eugene, Oregon.
It's
next
Ohio State
weekend.
Eugene.
It's Ohio
Come
State
on.
In Oregon. Week from Saturday. We got a lot to get to in the final hour. We went a little long there. It's almost the final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.